Welcome to the Digital Story Show, new tools for the creative mind. The Digital Story Show takes you inside with tips for the creative pursuit of photography, music, video, hardware, software, techniques, and hacks. You'll soon find yourself thinking less about buttons and menus and more about expressing the artist inside us all. Now the Digital Story Show with Derek Story.
September 2nd, 2008, the Digital Story Show with Derek Story. Today's topic, focal length. Focal length. Welcome back to another Digital Story. We're just coming off here in the U.S., a nice three-day weekend, which I love three-day weekends. I think three-day weekends should be the norm and not the exception. And it's not because I just, you know, lie around eating Cheetos all weekend. It's because I actually get to do some of the other stuff in my life that's very important to me. And that actually helps my employer and so forth. It makes me a better person to boot. So three-day weekends are terrific. I love them. And I wish I had one every week. But we did have one this week and I got lots done. I'm working on some big projects that I'll be talking about pretty soon. I'm getting ready to go to Photoshop World in, shall we say, exciting Las Vegas. It's certainly not beautiful Las Vegas, possibly at night with all the lights and so forth, but exciting Las Vegas. I will be there on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and coming back on Saturday. And O'Reilly Media has a booth at Photoshop World, and we'll be doing interviews. I'll be doing interviews, actually. I'll be doing the interviewing, along with my editor, Colleen Wheeler. She'll also be doing some interviews of folks like Steven Johnson and some surprises. We got some surprise guests this time. But we'll be talking to photographers and Photoshop artists there in the booth. And then I'll be recording those as podcasts, both video podcasts and audio podcasts, and publishing them on the O'Reilly site. So it's going to be a busy week for sure. I'm glad I have time to do this podcast before I catch the plane to exciting Las Vegas. Always have to pause. Okay, I'll be honest with you. Las Vegas is not one of my favorite cities in the world. And I'll tell you the main reason why, one reason why, is that most places that I stay, in this case, we have to stay at Mandalay Bay for because the event there, Photoshop World, is at Mandalay Bay. And in September, it only makes sense, if you can, to stay in the same hotel where the event is because it's just crazy outside in terms of weather conditions. So the thing that drives me crazy is the smoking. The smoking is everywhere. And it's not that I'm, you know, this against smoking or anything per se in terms of what folks do. Lord knows I smoked for a while myself back when I was in a rock and roll band. And that's what you did. You smoked and you look cool. Or try to look cool, which I think was more my case. At any rate, so I don't care so much about what people do. I just sort of care about it when they do it to me. And so you always have to go through these casinos and stuff to get to your room or to get to anywhere else that you want to go. And it's just kind of really loud and really smoky and not my cup of tea. And maybe if I were a gambler, now I may feel a little different about this situation, but I'm not. I'm just a photographer who is, you know, on assignment in Las Vegas, and therefore smoke and noise and all that stuff sort of comes with the gig. And that's why I don't say beautiful or wonderful or fantastic Las Vegas. I say energetic Las Vegas. So this week I'm going to be talking about something that actually has been coming up a lot lately. And, you know, as I've mentioned before, these things happen where folks, I think they all get together and they send email to each other and said, hey, let's ask Derek about this. And we'll keep asking him until he actually talks about it. And so that's where focal length came from. And I actually went back through all the podcasts that I've published and I didn't really see one dedicated to this. And so I thought, okay, all right, I'm going to just take care of a bunch of email at once and talk about it a little bit today. And actually, it is a pretty good topic, right? And what I'm talking about really in terms of digital SLR photography, when you choose these different lenses, the 16 to 35 wide angle lens, and we always just say wide angle, right? Thinking that everyone knows what's going on with a 16 to 35, or a 50 millimeter normal lens, like where does that come from? And then like a 70-200, you know, portrait lens. Well, why is it a portrait lens? And, you know, why aren't you saying 70 millimeter to 200 millimeter? And on and on and on. So even though for some folks this is like, wow, I just know this because I just have picked it up along the way, I think other folks, are curious about what's going on here. Why? How does this work? And first of all, I'll say that all of this was a lot simpler in the 35 millimeter days, right? Because in the 35 millimeter days, when we used 35 millimeter film, it was a fixed size. Every digital SLR that used 35 millimeter film, the area that was exposed by the lens was the same size. Now, in the digital age, we're still using a lot of those same lenses as we were before, but sometimes we're exposing a so-called full-frame sensor, which is approximately the same size as 35 millimeter. Sometimes we're exposing what we call an APS size sensor, which is smaller. And sometimes we're exposing a 4/3 sensor. And then I'm sure there's variations, that I'm not even thinking of right now. And so the size of the sensor, which is, you know, our digital film, really has an impact on what we think about focal length. And so I can see that in the digital age, the conversation about focal length needs to be revisited every now and then because things have changed a little bit. And that's why camera manufacturers still like to refer to lenses in the 35 millimeter way of thinking, because it's easier, because it's standardized, and everyone, at least everyone that shot in the 35 millimeter days, sort of knows what they're talking about. So let's just kind of take it from the top here. So let's start with the 50 millimeter lens. That's often referred to as the normal lens. Now, why is that? Well, again, we're going to go back to 35 millimeter digital SLR days. The 50 millimeter lens was the lens that was often bundled with the camera. So when you bought a regular SLR, a film SLR, you got a 50 millimeter lens. It was usually 50 millimeter f1.8. And the reason why they called it a normal lens is because on a 35 millimeter piece of film, the perspective, you know, the area of coverage for a 50 millimeter lens was sort of approximate to our normal eyesight, the way that we normally look at the world. It was, you know, close. Unlike a wide angle lens, which is exaggerated width, and a telephoto that has narrowed the width of view, the angle of view, the 50 millimeter was kind of the normal view. And that's what people used a lot of times. Sometimes that was the only lens they have, much in the same way that today the kit lens that comes with our Digital Rebel or Nikon D40 is the lens that a lot of people just sort of use because it's the one they have, and they haven't bought other lenses. So that's why the 50 millimeter lens is called the normal lens, because on 35 millimeter film it presents a sort of normal view. Now, this changes, for example, when you put a 50 millimeter lens on a camera that has a smaller sensor, let's say an APS size sensor, which many digital SLRs, that's the size sensor they have. Like a Digital Rebel, a Canon Digital Rebel has a smaller APS-C sensor, and so then it has like a 1.6 magnification. And so that lens suddenly, that 50 millimeter normal lens on a digital Rebel is really like an 80 millimeter, then what we would call a portrait lens. And why would we call that a portrait lens? Well, because the angle of view is more narrow than the normal view of the 50 millimeter lens, more narrow, which means that it's easier to isolate subjects, which means when you point the camera at a person and you're taking a head and shoulders shot, it's easier to fill the frame with the head and shoulders at 80 millimeters equivalent than it is at 50 millimeters, which is a wider view, which is going to have more stuff, which means you also have to get closer. And by getting closer, the perspective changes. And so sometimes it's not as flattering. The nose, for example, may look a little bigger when you get closer with a wider lens than when you're back a little ways with a lens such as an 80 millimeter or 100 or on and on and on. So the 50 millimeter lens now, it really can't be called a normal lens because it's only a normal lens when it's on a full frame digital SLR or on a 35 millimeter camera. Otherwise, it's a mild telephoto or something else. And this is why digital can make people a little wacky. Now, at the other end of the spectrum, the wide end, things have changed a lot also since 35 millimeter days. For me, in the early days of my film days, if I had a 28 millimeter lens, then that was considered a pretty nice wide angle lens. And of course, the nice thing about a lens such as 28 millimeters or 24 millimeters is that now that field of view is even wider than at 50 millimeters. So you get more information when you're standing in the same spot than you would with a 50 millimeter lens. It captures, you know, more width. And of course, this is really handy when you're in tight quarters. Let's say that you're shooting the bride getting ready for a wedding and she's kind of in a small dressing room. A 50 millimeter lens would be fast, of course, probably, because it'd be like f1.8, so let a lot of light in. But it might not be wide enough to where you can get all the information that you want. So this is where a wide-angle lens comes in very handy. And the wider the lens, often the more information that you can get. So, and the angle of view gets broader as the millimeters go down. So a 24 millimeter lens can capture more information in the same spot than a 28 millimeter lens. And a 20 millimeter lens is even wider yet, which means it captures even more information, and on and on. And I have my widest lens, which even by today's standards is not that wide now anymore. I have a 16 millimeter lens. It's actually a 16 to 35 millimeter zoom. And so on my Canon 5D, which is a full sensor camera, in other words, it's about the same size as a piece of 35 millimeter film, that 16 to 35, at the widest end, at 16 millimeters, it can capture a lot of information, right? I mean, I can get, you know, a lot of breadth to my shot. And so when you're in tight quarters, I can get, you know, the bride, not only the bride, but the person, you know, working on the bride and the mirror and, you know, all sorts of stuff. So, I mean, it's really handy. Now, when I put that same lens, let's say on a digital Rebel that has a smaller sensor, then suddenly that 16 to 35 is not as wide as it was before. It's more like a 24 millimeter or 25 millimeter on the wide end, you know, all the way up to 35, which is something to be like a, you know, a 42 or something like that. So the smaller sensor, you know, doesn't allow me to get as much breadth with that lens as I could when it's on a full sensor. So, and this is what I think one of the biggest challenges that photographers have in their in the early part of gathering their digital SLR equipment. They tend, I think, not to have a wide enough lens. You know, it's great because, let's say that your 28 to 105 zoom that you had before, you put it on a digital Rebel, and, you know, so suddenly that 105 is now, it's like a 155 or a 160, and you get that extra bump, and you're pretty happy about that because you just got, you know, some extra focal length. But then on the wide end, you know, you're really losing out. And so one of the, I think one of the first lenses that photographers need to get when they start getting serious about digital SLR photography is a good wide lens. And, you know, the kit lenses often start at 18 millimeters or something like 18 to 55. I don't even think that's wide enough because on a camera that has an APS size sensor, right, that smaller sensor, well, that 18 millimeter lens sounds great, but it's really like a 28 millimeter lens, right? And 28 millimeters for your wide angle lens, your widest wide angle lens these days is not that wide. It's not that wide, you know. In way back when, 20 years ago, yeah, it was great. But today, for a good wide angle lens, you really want the equivalent of at least 24 millimeters in order to be able to work in tight quarters, in order to, you know, do some serious landscape work, things like that. You sort of need, you know, more width, more breadth than what a 28 millimeter equivalent lens can give you. So you need to be 20 millimeters, 24 millimeters, somewhere in there. And of course, I really like the wider lenses. I love to be around 16, 17 millimeters because then I can really, then I have some operating room. And then I can really frame the shots the way that I want. So that's the wide end of the spectrum. Now on the telephoto side, it gets a little bit easier because, again, you know, a lot of us are sometimes shooting, sometimes all the time shooting with APS size sensor. So you get a lot of magnification out of, you know, a fairly standard lens. The standard telephoto is a 70 millimeter to 200 millimeter. This is what photographers have been living and dying by for years and years and years. And it's just a great working zoom range. The 70 millimeter, when you're on a full frame sensor, gives you a very moderate telephoto, but you know, you usually have enough room to get two subjects in the shot. And then as you you know, go to 200 millimeters, it's great for isolating a subject and shooting portraits and so forth. Just a really nice range. Now you put that same 70 to 200 millimeter lens on an APS sensor, and everything changes again. Then you've got suddenly you got like a 150 millimeter lens. Well, actually, no. I take that back. 105, right around a 105 millimeter lens to somewhere around, let me see, 200, a 300 millimeter lens, maybe even 310, somewhere in there. So now that's a fairly, you know, that's a fair amount of reach when you're getting up around 300 millimeters. And this is where I think it's important if you're starting to get that kind of magnification, when even if you're, if it's an APS induced magnification, this is where image stabilization, I think, is important. And this is something that you can really get fooled by when you're shooting with an APS size camera. I've heard photographers say, especially about 70 to 300 millimeter lenses, that the lens wasn't very good at the long end. You know, it was okay at 70 millimeters, but then you get out, you know, you rack it out to 300 and it's just not very sharp. And I'm thinking, okay, you're putting a 300 millimeter lens on an APS size sensor. So suddenly, you know, that thing is like around 450 millimeters, maybe a little bit more. if you have 1.6 magnification instead of 1.5. So suddenly you're doing handheld photography at over 400 millimeters, and you're probably not upping your ISO the way that you should. So, you know, maybe you're shooting ISO 200 or so, and you have camera shake. That's what's going on, buddy. The lens is fine, but you're probably, you know, with that lens on there, you don't realize that, you know, you're really, your effective focal length is over 400 millimeters, and you're trying to shoot at a 60th of a second, or you're trying to shoot at 1/125th of a second, and you have camera shake because the magnification has been increased. Now, the old rule of thumb is that you want a shutter speed that more or less matches your focal length to prevent camera shake. So, you know, if you're shooting with a 50 millimeter lens and you really want a shutter speed of around 1/60th of a second, and if you're shooting at 400 millimeters, you really want a shutter speed of around 1/500th of a second. And a lot of photographers, when they put 70 to 300 millimeter lenses on an APS camera, they're not really factoring that in. And they are thinking, well, I can shoot at 1/250th of a second or 1/180th of a second or something like that. And you've got to have a pretty steady hand to do that. So that's one of the reasons why I think when you put these longer lenses, especially on an APS censored camera, such as a Rebel, a Nikon D80, you know, any of these cameras that have that size sensor, is that that's a good lens to have image stabilization on. Because even though image stabilization doesn't, you know, is not a substitute for a bad technique, it does give you a little bit more operating room. And my favorite in the Canon line, my favorite lens in this range is the, you know, the 70 to 200 millimeter F4 L lens with IS, with image stabilization. You get up to the basically four stops of stabilization. And when you put that lens on an APS sensor camera, then you know what, you've got a little protection with that stabilization on, and you can, if you have the lens, you know, if you're shooting effectively at, let's say in this case, you know, around 300 millimeters, then, you know, you don't have to shoot at 1/250th of a second with that stabilization. You can shoot at 1/125th. It just gives you a little, you know, a little safety net there. So on the longer lenses, especially when you're using APS size sensors, image stabilization is a good thing. Now, the other thing that people get a little confused about is, you know, apparent depth of field. And I say apparent on reason, because real depth of field is a very slippery slope. And, you know, the worst thing that you can do is go to a cocktail party or something thinking that you really understand depth of field. And if you really don't understand depth of field, I mean like studied it, then you've got to be very careful. You've got to leave yourself lots of room here, because someone who really does know depth of field can embarrass you, quite honestly. And the reason why I bring this up is that the wider lenses, let's say your 16 to 35 wide angle lens, has more apparent depth of field. In other words, the area that's close to you versus all the way out to infinity, more of that area seems to be in focus than compared to, let's say, your 70 to 200 millimeter lens, which feels like it has a shallower depth of field. In other words, the backgrounds a lot of times will get softer. You know, so now there's a lot going on here, and you know, there's magnification and there's aperture involved. There's all sorts of stuff going on. But really, for me, the bottom line thing is, how do my pictures look? And the way that my pictures look a lot of times with a wider angle lens, especially if I stop down to, you know, f8 or f11, somewhere in there, I know I have a lot of apparent depth of field. I know that things from the foreground all the way to the background are probably going to appear sharp in the shot. And by the same token, I know that when I shoot at 200 millimeters wide open, let's say at f4 or f2.8, whatever your widest aperture setting is, and I focus on the subject, and then the background is, you know, 10, 15, 20 feet away, that background is going to look very soft. It's almost going to be, you know, painterly. So I know that's the effect I'm going to get. Now, I'm not going to go to the cocktail party and act like I'm an expert on depth of field, because I know I'm not, because I've listened to people who are, and quite honestly, they scare the hell out of me because they really get into it. But I do know what my lenses do. I do know that when I put it at this focal length, 200 millimeters, and I put it at this aperture, f4, and the background is 15 feet behind the subject I'm focusing on, it's going to be soft. I know that. Call it whatever you want, I know that's going to happen. And I think this is one of the fun things with digital SLRs, is that these lenses, these different lenses at these different focal lengths, they become like paintbrushes for you. And each one kind of creates a different feeling, a different effect. And you can learn what effect each lens produces and then use that, you know, to create the sort of image that you want. And this is where it gets exciting. So it really is worth your time to kind of think about your lens lineup. You know, what are you going to have on the wide angle lens end of things? You know, how wide do you need? Do you work in tight quarters? Things like that. Get at least 24 millimeters, the equivalent of 24 millimeters, more if you can. Do you want to have a nice, fast, know, 50 millimeter lens? It's not normal anymore, unless you're putting on a full sensor, full frame sensor camera, but it tends to be a very fast lens, which means it has a wide aperture that lets lots of light in. And then what are you going to do on the zoom end? You know, how much reach do you need? If you're shooting mainly portraits and events and things like that, you really only need 200 to 300 millimeter, the equivalent of 200 to 300 millimeter. If you start getting close to the 300 millimeter end, I really recommend that you have image stabilization, because when you're out at that focal length, there's more magnification, and more magnification means it's easier to get camera shake, and camera shake softens your image. It makes it look not sharp. And then if you're an event photographer, a sporting event photographer, a wildlife photographer, and you need to get out there with lenses that have a lot of magnification, 400 millimeters and beyond, make sure you have a way to steady that lens. And I really recommend in that case that you get a tripod collar for it, and then you get a good monopod and or a good tripod, so that when you're dealing with all that magnification, you can steady the lens and get as sharp a shot as possible. So that's sort of my just introduction to focal lengths. I hope that those of you that have been wanting me to talk about it, I hope that scratches your itch a little bit. We can always revisit and chat about it some more. I want to mention that we have a new photo assignment this month for September. Quiet. What can you do with quiet? Seems like there's all sorts of stuff. So quiet is the photo assignment for September. Keep those grab shots coming. Thanks to our sponsors, Red River Paper Company, Expo Disc by Expo Imaging, Photomagico by Boinks Software, the best slideshow software in the world, made only on a Mac, and Low Pro Bags. They have a bag for just about every need that the photographer has, from your smallest gadget to your biggest, you know, monster safari kit. They got a bag for you. They all have tiles on the digital story. When you have a chance, click on one and see what they're up to. I'll be back from Las Vegas next week to do another show. I'll probably talk a little bit about what happened there. In the meantime, remember, the photo assignment is quiet. Shoot some grab shots for me, because I need them, and I will see you here next week on The Digital Story. Bye-bye now.
Your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, weblogs, and informative articles, visit www.thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.